Listen, when Scott's here, we're going to have some fun energy today. I hope you guys are ready for this. I'm so excited to introduce Scott. Scott O'Neill is one of the most energized and recognized, you know, connected, dynamic executives in the sports and entertainment industry, and also with his beautiful family here as well. I have gotten to know Scott. I actually met Scott from a good friend of mine, Brian Blair, that we went to the MTC together almost 29 years ago, and they've been friends. And Brian Blair said, "You got to meet this guy, Scott. He's amazing. He's got a new book coming out." And as soon as I met Scott, it was just an amazing, amazing, powerful human, and was one of just an example to me for leadership. He trains leaders all over the world. He's been recognized as one of the top. He's a leader of leaders by the Harvard Business School and educated CEOs. O'Neill contends of fostering a corporate culture, and some of the awards that include Fast Company's Most Innovative Company, Entrepreneur Magazine's Top 50 Cultures, Sports Innovation Lab's Top Most Innovative Professional Teams in the World, and many other of the most innovative executives in sports. He is one of the most admired CEOs by the Philadelphia Business Journal. It goes on and on and on and on and on here of all of the things that Scott has accomplished in his life. But I think one of the most things that I love and admire most about Scott is his family and how much his family loves him. Meeting Lisa a few months ago, and he got his sister-in-law. If your sister-in-law comes to watch you speak, you know that you've won.
How about your mother-in-law?
Somewhere,
you know?
And Jeanette as well, his beautiful mother-in-law is here as well. Just recently, a huge accomplishment of Scott is that he just won two massive basketball championships. And these are championships. So if we can give it up for that. We've got, you know, Kira, her team. Scott was, you're the head coach, right? And that was the Pennington Red Hawks. That was Kira here. Let's give Kira right here, champion right there. And then Eliza was with the big dogs in Pennsylvania too. Where's Eliza at? There she is. And she's here as well. And then we've also got Lexi here as well. And she's not only the world's best Pokemon champion, but she is now doing an internship with the USA ski team and snowboard team as well. So Scott is an amazing father. He is an amazing leader. He is just keeps going. He's just getting started his career. So I don't want to take any more time. Let's give it up for Scott O'Neill.
All right. I always find those bios really awkward, but then again, I wrote it. So it's, I don't know. You know, I'm kind of hemmed and hawing on that one. A couple things. I'm going to move around a little bit, mostly because I can't stand still for 2 minutes. And I'm like interested in how far you're getting along with this chicken, to be honest. Pretty well.
Pretty well.
Okay, that's good. Okay, here's the thing. I had this job running the Philadelphia 76ers and New Jersey Devils. We built this big company, and I walked away on July 1st. And I have one thing I want you to think about is that if someone, and I had a non-compete, so I can't work until July 1st. So can you imagine if you had a year where you couldn't work, but they were paying you not to work? What the heck would you do with your time? I just want you to think about that. So you have 12 months. You cannot work in any scenario. And you're getting paid. What are you going to do? Anybody have any ideas on what they would do with their time? Write a book. I wrote one. That's crazy that you said that. No, I'm just kidding. Anything else? Yes.
Take care of all my genealogy and family heirlooms and pictures.
You're making me feel badly about myself. Okay, I'm doing the best I can. There's so much to do, but yes, genealogy would be a good one. Anything else?
Travel.
Why not, right? Where would you go?
Everywhere.
Not Eastern Europe. Yes.
Provide hope and encouragement.
Hope and encouragement to others. That'd be wonderful too. Okay, well, I'm going to talk to you about kind of three lessons, three stories, three insights I've got over the last year. Sound reasonable? Okay, because I've had this experience, and it's been, what a blessing. Like, what an absolute blessing to have time. Like, time has been my constraint for the last 25 years, and all of a sudden it wasn't. And so for me, I had every minute of my day planned for the last 15 years, and all of a sudden I was free. I would wake up, and there's nothing on my calendar. Can you imagine that? Oh, that's great. Okay, but before we get started, I'd like to try this. Do you all have your phones with you? I thought I asked you guys to leave those outside. No, I'm just kidding. Pick up your phones. I would like you to go to your text, even if you're eating, even if you're about to have bread and butter. Pick up your phone. Play with me here. We're playing at home. Oh, yes, I know. Get to your text. I'd like you to text your mom if she's still around. If she's not, that's okay. Find another woman in your life who's important and impactful. Are we texting here? We're all with me? And I would love the note to sound something like this. Mom, I really love you. I appreciate everything you do for me. And I know sometimes I might not say it as much as I should. Just know that you're always in my heart. Love, Scott. Although you can use your name, Brigham, or you can use mine. It'll be awkward if you use mine, so use yours.
Okay.
So, Mom, I really love you. I appreciate everything you've done for me. I know sometimes I don't always say it, but just know you're always in my heart. I love you. Name.
I have to tell her you told me to do this?
Insert. No, you cannot. That's one rule you cannot do. Nope. This one has to be pure. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that, okay? Leave it to Brooke Romney to ruin the surprise. Unbelievable. She graces. If she's not gracing your kitchen table at home with her work, you need to look her up. Many a lesson from her. Okay. We all done? Just look up when you're done. And look up means put your phone away so you can we can talk. Okay. So I send this. My mother-in-law, Janet, is right here. She's wonderful. She actually, she gets some of these texts occasionally, correct? The first one I sent to my mom, I've spoken to probably 70 of these or so in the last 6 months. And what do you think my mom wrote back the first time she heard from me? Hun. Hun, she calls me honey, always has. By the way, tough in high school, because that's what I was called. Because she'd be at my soccer games, my basketball games, and screaming, go honey, go! So I was called honey for an entire year of high school, which is awesome. Okay, hun, are you okay? Not great. So here's my invitation. One is if you get a note back from your mom or a woman that you sent a note to, and it's worth sharing, just raise your hand or just stand up and tell us what she said, okay? Sound good? And hopefully it's better than that. Two, if you get a note back that says, is everything okay? Are you hurt? Are you dying? Then that's a pretty good note to us that we have to be a little bit better at sharing gratitude, right? Okay, quick note. Is it better for the receiver or the sender when you're sending a note of gratitude? Just show of hands. Is it better for the sender? Sender? Receiver? Okay, about 50-50. How about the senders? Why is it better for the sender?
It rewires your brain for gratitude.
Absolutely. How wonderful to wake up in the morning feeling grateful. And the impact that has on your life, right? It's incredible. Yes. Anybody from the receiver? Why is it good for the receiver?
Affirmation. That's a good one, affirmation. Not enough people get that kind of message, and so it really brightens people's lives.
Right, I absolutely agree. When's the last time you got a note of gratitude, like unsolicited note of gratitude? Is it common for you? Anybody get them all the time? I know my wife does. What? From me. Okay, here's my invitation. My invitation is this. Over the next 30 days, oh, by the way, does anybody sleep with their phone by their bedside? Show of hands, just so I can see. Stop that immediately, Lisa. So that is banned in our house except for her. She does whatever she wants. Makes the rules, does the rules, does what she wants. Right. So here's the thing. If you sleep with your phone by your bedside, we're going to tackle that later. Just put it in the bathroom or somewhere else. Anyway. What? Who is calling you at 3 a.m.? What? Anyway, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later. Here's my invitation. Anyway, one more question. Who picks their phone up before they brush their teeth and checks their emails or texts? Show of hands. Anyone? Shame, shame, shame. I do that too. I do that too. Okay, but here's what I'd like you to do when you pick up your phone for the first time in the morning. I would love you to send one note, one text, one email, one note of love, gratitude, or appreciation to somebody different in your life for the next 30 days. Sound reasonable? Anybody with me? Just show of hands if you're in. Okay. Amazing. Okay, I'm going to talk about three lessons. So, I talked about what I wanted to do, what I would do in my life if I had a year off, which I do. So the first thing I did was I hopped on a plane with this young lady. Please stand up, Kira. She's 18 years old, Kira O'Neill. And we went to Mozambique with a group called HEFY, H-E-F-Y. Now it's HXP. It's wonderful. If you have a kid and you can be a parent builder, I would strongly recommend it. But you have to have a strong stomach. I'm more like, hey, I would love to go to a nice resort for vacation. Not, hey, I want to go to Mozambique and sleep in a room with black mold and five teenagers and no hot water. I'm just kidding. It was wonderful. I love the experience. But I learned a ton of lessons there. But the conditions were relatively bleak. In fact, Mozambique is the third poorest country in the world. They have 75% of the country is living below the poverty line. Average household income, anybody want to take a shot? $535. So I can tell you that I was like overwhelmed every day with feelings of gratitude and feeling blessed and feeling just fortunate and lucky that I was born in this country and not Mozambique. But the lessons were plentiful. So that is scaffolding. Anybody here not know what scaffolding is? You know, you go into a city and there's a big, like, you know, big metal, it looks like a big ladder. It just saves you from climbing up a ladder, then climbing down and moving it over 3 feet. That's what scaffolding is. So that was the scaffolding we built. Does it look safe and sturdy to anybody in here? No, it doesn't. You know, it didn't feel safe. Is anybody here, just show of hands, afraid of heights? Okay, I am too. If you're afraid of heights, like, you know, it's really unsettling. And unfortunately, the foreman spoke only Portuguese and I speak only English. So he didn't say, like, hey, are you afraid of heights? Hey, do you have any skill at all? Because I would have said no, and or yes, and then no. And so I got put on here with Kira and the scaffolding. It's the first day and it is wobbly, okay? And so the only thing we had to do up there was we had to lean over, and there were like these 30-pound buckets of plaster, and we just had to kind of lean over and just pick up the plaster because someone was holding it up, and I would clutch onto the wall as soon as I was done. Like, I actually had fear. I don't fear too many things. Heights is one of them. It's the strangest thing. And so we're up there, and it's wobbling, and we're just putting the plaster on the cinder blocks. And we had this kid from California, wonderful kid named Clayton, who was like the stereotypical California kid, like the long blonde hair and plays a guitar and rides a skateboard. It's kind of funny, like when someone's so stereotypically California. And he fell off of that. It doesn't look that high, but it was probably like 9 feet-ish. She's saying 12, 10, I don't know. It was high, high enough where I was scared. And he fell off this way on his back. And unfortunately, he landed right on a cinder block. Now, this is happening in slow motion. There are only two adults here. And has anyone had a slow motion moment in their life? Like, I haven't had too many, when you're like, no, it's one of those. And he's falling down. I feel like it takes forever. And he smacks on the cinder block. And I'm thinking, oh no. Because how do you think healthcare is in Mozambique? Just kidding. So I'm thinking we have a real problem. And he pops up. It was one of the many miracles on the trip. He's like, oh, my back. And all I kept thinking was, oh, I'd be dead. And I was a little bit frozen, you know, like, what do you do? I kind of jumped down really quickly and went over, and he was literally fine. It was a miracle. There are plenty of miracles on this trip. And Kira didn't have that same rub. So what she did was, she started, not unlike her dad and her type A dad, she started ordering people around. Hey, we need more boards. Please go get some more chicken wire. And then so anyway, we started to rebuild the scaffolding really quickly. And it was a great lesson for me, because sometimes when things go bad in life, or when life feels a little wobbly, like it does, if you have teenage kids, you know what wobbly life feels like right now, coming out of COVID. You know what isolation does to people. If you're running a company right now or working at a company, you know the attrition rates. The company I just left, the attrition rate is 42% since I left. They're expecting to hit 50 by the end of the year. Half the company turning over. But by the way, that's not unique. It's happening everywhere. Because people are unsettled. Their lives are changed. What Kira did, though, she reset it. So if things are going badly, if they're wobbly, if you have an unsettling relationship, if you have something go wrong in your life, if things are going sideways, if you fall off the path, if something is not going your way, it's okay, but you have to do something. You cannot be frozen like I was looking at this kid thinking, oh no. You got to go into action like Kira. That's my first lesson. Second lesson. Randy kind of spoiled this one. Uh-oh. Wait for it. State championship game. That's not going to go, and we win. The Red Hawks. Look at Kira. Wait. See, that's me over there coaching. Wait for Kira. That's her jumping around with that ponytail. And look what Dad gets. Okay. So the second thing I did after going to Mozambique was I got to be a coach. I hadn't been to a family dinner in 20 years. And now I got to spend 2 hours a day with my daughter and 13 teenage girls. It was the most incredible experience I've ever had. And winning was wonderful. Like winning, and this was not a good team that I inherited. And it wasn't the coaching. But what they did do is they fell in love with each other. They fell in love with the notion that they could give of themselves to gain something more special. They fell in love with the notion that, boy, when kid was down, they reached out and hugged him. We had this crazy rule. I said it my first day. I said, hey, this is gonna borderline on inappropriate for a BYU talk, but let's go for it. I'm on a roll. So on my first day, I said, hey, you know what? Because my girls have all kind of been through the paces with COVID and isolation. I said, hey, ladies, here's the deal. If you're having a bad day, it's okay. You just have to let me know. Because then I'll ease up on you. I won't yell like I typically do. I won't push you so hard, but you have to communicate with me. And if you need to sit out of practice, you need a mental health day, just say, hey, coach, I'm out today. No questions asked. You sit on the stage or you go home. We're good. Okay, we're going to do this together. Second day, girl comes in and says, hey, coach, I'm out today. I was like, huh, second day. Okay, I got to remember my promise. Take a breath. This isn't about you. Okay, that's great. She says, do you want to know why? And I say, no, I don't. Because I have 3 teenage daughters, and I really don't want to know why. And she says, it's because I have PMS. I'm like, why did you tell me this? Let me just coach basketball. I came here to escape all this stuff. But what I learned, the lesson I learned, whether that be on a basketball team, or this table you're sitting at, or a classroom, or an organization you're a part of, or a ward you're a part of, or an organization you're running, is that boy, oh boy, oh boy, we need to spend more time. You need to spend more time thinking about people, thinking about culture. What do your Zooms look like? You just get on and get off. We've been on freaking 18 Zooms in a day. Do we get on a Zoom and say, hey, how was your weekend? Hey, you know what, let's go around the Zoom right now. Before we get started, let's talk about one thing we're grateful for. No, but we're forgetting that, aren't we? Because we're just getting in and getting out. Because we're tired. Even when you're leading, even when you're the leader, you're the CEO, the president, the manager, the supervisor, the executive, we have to be better and do better to build extraordinary teams. Okay, lesson number 3. Anybody know the story? Okay, so here's the story. So Mary and Margaret get visited by Jesus, comes to their house. And Mary says, hey, she's just going to sit by the Savior's feet and just listen because it's Jesus, right? The Savior's in your house. Margaret's, yeah, she's out working, right? She's getting the house ready. She's got to get dinner ready. And she comes over to the Savior and says, like, yo, why won't Mary help me say something? And Jesus says, she's exactly where she needs to be. And the first few times I read that story, I thought, yeah, but if Jesus is in my house, like, I'm spending time with him. Right? Because I took it so literally. But it wasn't intended to be literal, was it? So now, take me back to Mozambique, and that's me, Mr. Big Shot Worker Guy, right? And I see this other guy playing with these kids, this kid, who's now at BYU, wonderful young man named Stuart. And I'm like, why is that kid playing with the kids when we should be working? Who's Mary in this story, and who's Margaret? And so I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that not only here in this context, and not only as it relates to, I don't know, a ward activity or church activity or your family. Have we been Margaret a few times with our family? Yes, we have. Have I been Margaret a few times with my friends at work, my peers at work? Of course I have. But man, what a great, wonderful lesson. Okay, those are my 3 lessons. Perspective. Has anybody here ever mixed cement before? Okay, it's an awful job. I have too. So this was our cement mixing. But I want you to keep your eye on that back wall. Am I going that late? Am I that late, Brother Corbin? No, I am, aren't I? I was thinking the same thing.
That was my "this is awesome" meter.
I knew it! I've always wanted one of those. Okay, my birthday's coming up. Just think about it. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so as you get a little closer, look what you see. That's their classroom. And so when you think about you're having a bad day, okay, or your kids are giving you a hard time, or your boss has been difficult, or your board is hassling you, or your partner at home is a little difficult, not mine ever. So I want you to think about these kids not only studying here. You know where the rest of the kids were studying? Under trees. Imagine looking out over the field and there's a big tree with a teacher and a chalkboard and a bunch of kids sitting around. That was perspective enough for me. Okay. I want to breeze through my stories really quickly in the interest of time. But I want you to think about your WMI. Your WMI is your what's most important. Okay? I'm just going to focus on work right now because this is a work thing. Okay? Do you know the three things that are most important at your work? That if you do those three things and you do them extraordinarily well, that you will be a world beater and you'll be successful. If you don't, we'll talk later. But you probably do. A dear, dear friend of mine, an executive coach of mine, Spencer Holt, told me, he said, high performance, you look like a really high performer. Do I agree?
Yeah, sure.
You agree?
Yeah.
Extraordinary high performer. I mean, like, of high performers, you would hop over that bar.
That's right.
Okay. High performers spend 65% of their time on the three things that are most important. I didn't audit my calendar, so this is my invitation to you. After this week, audit your calendar, write the three things down, and have an other category. And anything that hits those three things, any meetings you had, any calls you had, just put in those three things, put everything else in other, and then just tally it out for time. Guess how I did the first time I did it? 65% high performers. Anybody want to guess my percentage when I first checked? Take a wild guess. Be nice.
20.
It was 23. Why would you say 20? Are you? I'm doing the best I can. So I had to make a choice, right? Here's my choice. My choice is this. I either change what I say is most important, or I change my process.
That's good.
Right?
That's good.
I chose to change my process. And I learned one magic word, and it was no. Hardest thing for me to do. Okay, wonderful story. Camden, New Jersey. Anybody other than Brother Corbett know anything about Camden, New Jersey? Okay, brother, you do. What do you know about Camden?
We live in Philadelphia.
I'm sorry. Me too. Okay, so Camden, New Jersey, would you say is a tough town?
Tough town.
Average household income, not $535, but actually just over $13,000. Number of single parent households was in the mid-70s. Graduation rate in the mid-50s. 50 open-air drug markets in 2012. It's a really, really tough, it's a small town, but a really tough town. And we built our training facility there when I was at the Sixers. And this is Police Chief Thompson, who transformed the way you police in areas like this. And he did it by doing one thing and one thing only, and that was assuming positive intent.
That's good.
Assume positive intent. Can you imagine if you went through life and assumed positive intent? Can you imagine if your husband or your wife was being difficult, okay? And you assume positive intent and said, maybe he's just having a bad day. Maybe he had a bad day at work. Maybe, I don't know, your son is grinding you so hard this one particular day that you just actually can't stomach it. And you assume positive intent and said, you know what? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because I love him. What if you did it at work? What if you assume positive intent in every instance at work? What if in the ward, what if there were, what if there were, during a fast and testimony meeting, a woman that got up and she told a story that offended you. Has that ever happened to anybody in this room? Okay, it's happened to me a few times. Okay, I'm going to say it. I'm not going to tell you the story because it still makes me mad to this day because I was not assuming positive intent. But what if? Anyway, he did. He assumed positive intent. This young girl, unfortunately, was shot and killed, 12-year-old. All the sergeants wanted to bring out all the SWAT teams and shut down the city. You know what he did? He's like, nope, we're not doing that. We're going to get two Mr. Softy machines. We're going to put them on the end of the streets. We're going to have the police serve free ice cream, and we're going to invite people back to reclaim the streets. Because he says people are good. Are there bad people here? Yeah, of course they are. It's the 0.1%. We cannot manage for the 0.1%. We cannot lead for the 0.1%. We got to manage and lead for the top 5%, and that's what he did. Extraordinary results. Since 2012, everything very vastly improved because he assumed positive intent and drove it. Now, this handsome man is my great-grandfather. Kira, that's a handsome guy. Is he smoking a cigar? And does he have a spirits truck? Yes, he does, and yes, he is. But we're not here to judge, are we? No, we're not. We're just here to love. So he was in Italy, in Sorrento, Italy. And his father, he was a farmer. His father was a farmer. His father's father was a farmer, blah, 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 blah. Generations, there was like 9 generations of farmers. He had one pig to his name. He looked at his dad and said, I don't want to be that guy. So he sells his pig, sells everything he has. He's got $13 in his pocket. He gets on a ship, boards for the U.S., can't read or write Italian, and can't speak English. You want to wonder why this is the greatest country in the world? Because of that. Think of the courage. Think of the strength. Think of our ancestors. It doesn't just happen. But he trusted the process, to use an old basketball phrase. He had a vision for the future. He was willing to look out on the future and say, I can do this. I don't want this. Now, how does that apply to us? How does that apply to your life today? How many of you want to learn something? You want to achieve something? You want to do something in 1 year or 2 years or 3 years? Or are you so focused on your calendar of today that you're more focused on the next 15 minutes? Well, I have another meeting. Well, I have another meeting. Well, I have another meeting. Are those meetings accomplishing anything? Are they driving you towards anything? Are you helping you grow something or learn something or do something special? I would argue I am at my worst when I'm just going through the day. I am a rat. I'm a hamster on a wheel. I'm just a rat in a cage, just going. But when I'm at my best, I have a vision for something I want to learn or something I want to do or something I want to achieve. And I actually write a plan and spend the time and I do it. He is still a handsome guy. Okay, quickly. People are struggling right now. I hate to break it to you. The world's falling apart. And it's all because isolation is the new kryptonite. And so I have this little, I'll tell you, I wrote this book as a little aside. I don't want to get emotional. My best friend took his own life. That's why I wrote a book. I didn't write a book to pat myself on the back or give myself a big hug or make myself feel warm and fuzzy or to be here in front of you guys. I wrote it because I was hurt and I couldn't recover. I couldn't get out of bed in the morning. I couldn't go to sleep at night. I couldn't function. I was at work and somebody would be like, hey, how's it going? And I'd be like, and go into my office. So that was about 6 months. And so I started to write to heal. And so I spent a lot of time over the past year or so figuring out, okay, what is that formula for mental health and wellness? And here's mine. Do something for your mind, something for your body, and something for your soul every day. Something for your mind is easy. What are you reading? What are you learning? I don't care if it's a conference talk or a TED talk. I don't care if it's about Web 3.0 or the latest muscle car you want to build and rebuild an engine. I actually don't care. You have to be learning something every single day. If it's a 10-minute talk or an article or a YouTube video, learn something. It'll keep your mind fresh. Your body, this is something we got to take care of our bodies. We have to take care of this, okay? And it's 20 minutes a day. I've turned into a little bit of a Peloton lunatic. I don't know if anybody wants to do it. I'm not advocating for it, but for me, 45 minutes, hard sweat, and I'm done. If you don't want to do that, that's okay. Take a walk. Get your heart rate going for 20 minutes. The soul for this group is easy. It's a little harder to talk about with corporate groups, but I can tell you, get on your knees and say your prayers. Read your scriptures. Go to church. Take care of your soul. And if that doesn't work for you right now, that is okay. And so are you. But you need to find stillness in your life. And so if that's about meditation, if that's about sitting out and listening to birds chirp in the morning, that's fine. It's fine. Yoga, meditate, anything. You have to find stillness. Get some sleep. Not my strength, to be honest with you. Okay? I'm working on that. I'm working on all kinds of things to get me to sleep. Practice gratitude, we talked about, right? Be where your feet are. Put your phone down and get your head up. We need more. We need more connection. We need more conversation. We need each other. We need people. And we got our freaking phones like this. What are your rules? Does anybody here have rules for the kids on their phones? Yes. Do your kids love those rules? They love them, don't they? Because my kids love them. They can't get enough. They're like, Dad, give me more. We want you to be more draconian, more mean. Dad, you're the meanest dad ever. You are the worst. I'm like, no, I'm not. Bottom 10, maybe, on a day. Let me ask you a question, though. What are the rules you have for yourself? What are they? You come home from a day, is your phone up in front of you? How about the dinner table? You get your phones? You guys go out to dinner with your friends? I go out to dinner with my friends the other day. I hadn't seen them in a year. I walk up because I'm late, and they're all on their phones. I was like, yo, what are we doing? Why? Why are we doing this? Okay. And when you the only way you can take care of each of other people is if you take care of yourself first. And I want you to make sure that you don't put a ceiling on what you can accomplish and what you can achieve. That's all I have. I'm supposed to take some questions. I'm about, am I over?
5, 10 minutes for questions.
5, 10 if I dance. Okay. Yes, Dave.
Is it harder to run an NBA team or a high school team?
High school. Not even a question. I mean, I will tell you, like, I got so used to infrastructure and people. Like, I just had people helping me with everything. And then I didn't. And I'm watching game film of a high school girls game every night because I can't help myself. So it was much harder. Yes?
When you said your best friend committed suicide and you were stuck, mm-hmm. What was the moment where you said, okay, I've got to do something to get unstuck, to get where you were?
Yeah, so I have a... I have several Achilles heels. One of them is I have a very difficult time raising my hand. And so, and I've been down, we've had foreclosure notices on our house, we've had some health issues, we've had, I've been fired from a job, my best friend took his own life. I mean, I've been in the thick of it, okay? And it takes me a while to raise my hand. I fortunately, Lisa is my, strength and my rock, the person who's like, because in the beginning I can't hear anything, and so all I need is love and compassion and a hug. That's what I need in the beginning, and I need time, and she seems to be able to carve out that time for me. She did call in one of our friends. She never has admitted to this, but she called a friend in to come see us, Randall Wright. Some of you may know him or his work, and he came up and helped me quite a bit think through. Because I'd written, I was like writing. You ever see that movie Forrest Gump? Probably the best way to explain it. Do you ever know that scene when he's just running? Like he runs out of the stadium and then he just runs? And you're always like, what the heck is he doing? It never made any sense to me, that scene, until I was stuck. And I kind of understood it. Because I was writing like he was running. Like he was just running to get away. And I was writing to like try to escape. And so for the first time in my life, I started like, and a lot of it was just gibberish, you know? But I started to piece it together. But I think that was the first time. It probably took me 3 months and I started to think about how I wanted to be, who I wanted to be, how I could heal, or how I wanted to heal. Yes?
So, I listened to your All In podcast the first time you said, be where your feet are, and I loved it. How do you do it? Like, how do you discipline yourself so that that's something that you consistently do when you have so many things that are vying for your mind space?
Yeah, it's such a good question. Think about us here today. It's like, right? I am 100% with you. The question is, are you with me? You know? Because if you're up in front of a group, it's easy, right? This is all I have. I don't have my phone. I have no other appendages. I can't be thinking of anything else. The one question I'm asked every time I speak to groups is, how do you find work-life balance? I'm like, you don't. Because I haven't met one successful person in any facet of their life that has any semblance of balance. I said, but what I do love is when I'm with you, I'm with you. And so think about your life this way. This is how I think about my life. It's like I have 3 daughters. You've met them. Like in the morning, our house is chaos. I mean, there is no quality time going on in the morning in our house. Brother Corbett, everything's totally different. They're like, they're making it happen. He's giving a church talk at breakfast. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's fantastic. For us, I'm like, holy moly, like, my computer's not charged, my, you know, flask or whatever those things are is dented, she has my shirt on, someone spilled, I'm like, holy, we're like survived events, like the NCAA tournament, just get them out of the house in one piece and we're good. Then I'm working all day. How much quality time is happening with my family then? Then, you know, it was my last job, I was working 150 some odd nights a year, I'd get home at midnight. So it's like, I got to figure out when I'm home. So here's my challenge to you. It's like, how much quality time do you want at home? With your partner or your or your kids, or your, you know, if your folks are living with you, an hour a day? Can you commit to an hour? 1 hour, put your phone down. Everybody has their phone downs. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to talk. We're going on a family walk. We're going to play a family game for 1 hour. And if you start to think about how much time you really have, how much quality time you really have to make an impact and a difference, for me, that puts in perspective and helps me schedule. And if you're overscheduled, you got to figure out a way to schedule and prioritize. So that's the first piece, is like, are you willing to prioritize? And then this is embarrassing. I've never said this in front of these guys. But like the first time we did it in COVID, I honestly hadn't been to a family dinner. They're wonderful, by the way, if you haven't done them. But COVID, I had a bunch of them, like 2 years of them. And we got conversation starter cards, which is really embarrassing to think about, because I consider myself a pretty good conversationalist. But it actually forced us to talk about things. Do you need help talking about things with your family? How about your wife or your husband? How about your parents? How about your friends? How about people you're serving with in your ward? Well, if you do, you got to find a way, but you got to carve out that time. You have to be present with them. Because it's not, I'd rather be 10 minutes with Randy Garn right now than an hour kind of like this and on my phone and reading a book and looking over my shoulder. So I don't know, and I'm a work in progress. So I wish I were perfect at it, but I work at it every single day because I want to make sure I am connected and present. Randy.
One thing that I really admire about you is just, you know, as you talk about prayer and your relationship with God, how old were you when you started making prayer and part of your life? At what age?
Yeah, so I grew up Catholic, and then married Lisa, who went to BYU, and was still, for the first 5 years of our marriage, I was going to Mass and then going to church with her. So I was doubling up. Then I lost that affinity to go to church, and I would just kind of committed when we got married. It was kind of, we didn't have any money, so it was our version of a prenup. I was like, she's like, we're raising the kids in the church. I was like, okay, can I work wherever I want? Yes, you know. And she had a little bit better eternal perspective than I had, and whatever, it happens. You know, you can't win every negotiation. So I dutifully went to church with her for 20 years before I converted. But I've always been relatively prayerful and felt like I was connected, you know, connected to a higher power. And oftentimes when I'm talking to groups that aren't members of the church, I just say, it's like, you know, I just, you know, I feel like there's a wonderful humility that comes with serving a higher power. It's wonderful humility. Actually getting on your knees and praying. I'm trying to think of the movie. It was the movie about Mr. Rogers. And I just thought it was so beautiful. And he gets on his knees and he prays for people by name. I had never done it before, which I know sounds so simple. Maybe to some of you, you do that regularly. But for me, just saying people's names out loud has been so humbling. So me, in terms of finding my faith and joining the church, and that was an incredible process. And Lisa was a huge part of that, obviously. But prayers always come really natural to me. It's always like, it's humbling and settling. And it's the first thing I do in the morning, the last thing I do at night. Yes, Dr. Corbett.
I understand you wrote a letter to other presidents of sports organizations announcing your decision to join the church. Is that true?
Yeah, well, it is. So look, we all have our own unique approach. And mine is definitely been deemed non-traditional. So I do certain things to invite people to talk about the church. And as Lisa recently said to me, get me out of the mission field, meaning get me west. Which I thought was inappropriate on several levels. We'll talk about that later. You're right here. He's like a big shot in the whole church thing, you know?
Lisa, can we talk later?
Get me out of the mission field. She didn't say much nicer than that, but either way, I lost my train of thought. My letter. So when I go to breakfast, for example, I just flip my, you know, they come over and say, hey, would you like coffee? And I flip my coffee mug over and say, no, you know, unfortunately, you know, the church I'm in, we're not allowed to drink coffee. And same at dinner, I just flip my wine glass over. Right when they come over, people are like, really? You don't drink wine? I was like, well, let's talk about it. And so when I decided to get baptized, I sent out a little, you know what a bitmoji is? Like a little bitmoji, like a little like cartoon character. And it was from the Book of Mormon, which I know people don't love that play, but it was from that character. So it had a little name tag on, and it says, I believe on it. It's like this. And so I sent that out. So hundreds and hundreds of people got that with not much explanation underneath, and it begged a lot of questions. So yes, it's true. A lot of my friends got those. Okay, hey, I just want to wrap by just telling you a couple things. One is thank you for the time. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Allison. You're doing great. I know your time is coming to end. You've done a wonderful job. Let's give her a little hand. Way to go. Secondly, I just invite you to practice gratitude with me. So you've got 30 days. I've been doing it for about 7 months. It's been really transformational to me as to how I wake up in the morning and how I live my life. And so I invite you to do that for the next 30 days. And thirdly, get yourself healthy and take care of yourselves. Make sure you take care of your mind, your body, and your soul, and make sure you get enough sleep. Practice gratitude. You serve some, and when you're feeling good, make sure you serve other people. Okay? Thank you, and God bless you.
And Scott, before you get too comfortable, we're going to have you come back up for just a second. So for our organization in this chapter, in lieu of a gift or a speaker, thank you for your time. What we have started a tradition of is we'll award a scholarship in your name.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So as we award scholarships, we award those in the next couple months. There will be a student attending on your behalf. So
thank you very much.
We'll give you that. And let's give Scott one more round of applause for this time.
Thank you, man. That's so nice.
And that's all we have today, so we'll be announcing our next luncheon once we have that scheduled and hope to see you then. Other than that, safe travels. Thanks, everyone.